Accession number 18463, Reel 14.
Don Barrett, Reel 14.
Yeah, we're absolutely soaked in perspiration, and of course immediately you stop, it begins to freeze, your clothes begin to freeze inside you. The funny thing was, we had metal identity discs, and they used to be terribly cold, and if you leaned forward, they went back, they were like this icy thing slopping about inside you. And when I went to get up, my backside had frozen to the ground, and I couldn't lift myself up, and there wasn't anybody to lift me up. So I rolled, and it cracked off, got over onto my knees, forced myself up, because I got all my equipment on, and got up on my knees first, then forced myself up and sat back against the bank with the rest of the lads there. That had been a bit of an error, sitting down. Shortly after this, we began to move off down a slope. Now, we're completely mixed up now. We're not opened out. We're not on alternate sides of the road. We're just a column of people. Although we'd led off, I think during the march, they must have been doing the leapfrogging business. So the forward company fell back, because we're right at the back of the column now. We're at the rear of the column. And we start off down this slope, and we could see that the road went round in a big U bend. Ken Partridge, my friend, was leading, and he called out to me, "We'll cut this bit off." I didn't really agree with him, but he was already on his way, so we followed him down. I think one section and Company HQ went round the road, and we began to cut down this reasonably narrow path. When we got to the bottom, looking over to our left, there was an enormous great fire and some trucks, and we thought, the transport's come to pick us up, which of course it had. But an officer came running over. I guess he must have been from brigade, I suppose, because he was terribly smart, in a smart uniform, blue beret and all the rest of it. And he grabbed Ken and said, not enough transport, you'll have to march on. And of course the poor old lads were not too pleased about that, because they were pretty shattered by this time. So our two sections marched on, and in fact, we were later to find out, we were the only two sections of the company that didn't get on the transport. We marched on, and it became a bit windy, and we were now in a deep sort of gully, big high hills on each side, and began to bear up round to the left. And now the transport came by, and we were forced into standing in a gully on the side of the road, and we watched these trucks go by, and they were half full. There was loads of room on these trucks, and these darn trucks are going by, and we couldn't believe it, that we were literally being left behind. A nasty old feeling, that, really. I mean, maybe it was our imagination, but there were definitely room in these trucks. You could force 40 or 50 people in a truck if you had to. Anyway, they all went by. We started on our way again. And behind us, a large vehicle coming along, and it looked like a tank transporter. And we thought, right, we'll get hold of him. He'll be okay. He'll give us a bit of a lift, as long as he's, you know, whatever the situation. And we marched on, expected him to come up round us. But there was a bypass there, and he went up, and he looked just as if he was climbing up a hill. He was climbing up the bank, in actual fact, I presume. And he must have gone across some sort of bypass there and missed us completely, so we never did see him. Went on a bit farther, and there was a bridge over the railway line. Went over this bridge, came down about another 300, 400 yards, I guess. And there was a T-junction, and we hadn't got a clue where we were. Hadn't got the faintest idea where we were, but we guessed south was the way to go. So we turned left and went south. Marched on. There was a little village on our left-hand side, laid back, all dead and quiet, no sound whatsoever. And everything's now dead. No transport, no nothing, nobody about. We're literally on our own. And we were on our own, although we weren't completely sure of that at the time. And we went on, I don't know how far we went, 2 or 3 miles, I guess. And a lorry came up from behind, and Ken got out on the road, and waved him down, and it was an American ammunition lorry, empty, going back for more shells. This is one of the mysteries. I've never been able to work this out, because these lorries used to run up and down the roads at night, risking being caught by gorillas and Uncle Tom Cobbley and all. And he'd come down from Secondive. He was going back down to Sunchon. And he was very pleased to have us aboard. So Ken got in the front with him. And we all got in the back with our rifles over the side, you know, just in case anything happened. Because you feel a bit vulnerable when you're on a truck because you'd seen so many shot up, ours and theirs. And we whistled through the night down to Sunchon, past another village before we got to Sunchon, I remember, but that was pretty dead. Got to Sunchon, and he stopped and he said, well, I'm now going off and up to the left to the ammunition depot. He said, but you're down, I'm sure you're down that road on the right-hand side there, down at Chase Ann. So we got out, and the lads were, they were absolutely shattered by this time, and they got in the side of the road and on the verandas of the houses and instantly went to sleep. Ken and I went and found a sign, but it had been moved. It was 27 Brigade, 61 forward thing. But it had been moved, and it looked as if it wasn't pointing down the road where he'd said. And we went up to a little road junction and looked down to where he'd gone, and we could see a fire down there, so we knew there were some Americans down there. And our lads are saying, let's go down there and get a meal, you know, come on. And we believed that he was right, and the road, the sign had been moved by somebody, either intentionally or accidentally, and it was pointing the wrong way. We got them back on their feet again with a great deal of difficulty, and I must say they were not terribly happy, the lads. I could understand it, because we were all pretty shattered. And we got them marching off, Ken in the lead, me following up behind. And we picked up the rocket launcher, funny enough. I have no idea where that arrived from, because it was usually with Platoon HQ. And we marched off down the road. I guess we'd gone 2 or 3 miles, I guess. Suddenly we heard a track vehicle coming towards us. It didn't sound like a tank, it sounded like a carrier. But we got everybody off the side of the road and loaded the old rocket launcher just in case, and kept it covered. And it turned up it was an MMG carrier, and they'd been sent out from Chase Ann to find any stragglers, of which we were the last ones, I think. And they were going to... we were all climbing up on the carrier, all over the carrier. You can get all sorts of people on a carrier if in an emergency. And a three-tonner turned up. So they turned the three-tonner back round, and we got up on that, and the carrier went off a bit farther just to see if there was anybody else. We didn't think there was, because we heard nobody behind us. And we got in at Chase Ann. We got in about 0300, I should think, just a little bit later than that. And according to the war diary, the last in was 0315, so I reckon that was probably us. And by this time, the company was all in, and they were bedded down in the paddy fields there. And I think probably because we were last in, we didn't have to do any guards. Morning was only about an hour and a half away, first night. And we just got our bedding rolls out and had a bit of a rest. Stood to in the morning. It was a bit of a nominal stand too, because we just literally stood there with our equipment on and, you know, stood around. There wasn't really much to do. But by this time, the traffic was building up on the road. All sorts of vehicles going through, going south. So it looked a bit as if there was everybody was heading south at this particular moment of time. And at 0800, we had a message that we were going back up. There was a roadblock up at the pass, what we called Coonery Pass. And there was a roadblock up there, and we were going to have to go up and clear it. Unfortunately, of course, there was no transport. There's one of the things that the Americans, of course, couldn't quite cope with the fact that we had no troop carrying transport, no artillery, no tanks, and we were just men with and that was all. Just an infantry brigade, of course. We had no transport at all, except, of course, the three-ton truck which carried air bedding, and the 1500, which usually carried the rations and stuff like that. And that was all the transport we'd now got. I think we'd had an extra three-tonner before that, and we'd also had a company carrier, but they'd all been breaking down, and each time they took them away to go to the support companies. But nothing at all. 10 o'clock, some vehicles turned up, climbed on, got back down to San Chon, which was the place where we got off the truck that night, and turned left, went forward to a place called Chop Tong, which where there was an American reconnaissance company from First Cab were there, and they presumably had just arrived because they got jeeps with trailers, and they got the jeeps strung out there, and they were just sort of laying their rifles and machine guns and what have you across the canopies of the jeeps, the bonnets and the trailers. And we stopped there for a while. I don't know. I mean, we were at the rear of the column, so we really don't know what's going on there. We'd seen nobody else except for this reconnaissance company. And eventually, the column moves off again. We're at the rear now, and the leading companies are taking a bit more care. And we didn't get the word, but we began to feel that things were not quite as they should be. Everywhere looked a bit ominous. So we got up and lined the sides of the truck. And sometime later, I can't remember when, the word was passed back to line the side of the truck, but by that time we already were all feeling a little bit nervous. Colin went on, and it's all terrible because at the back you never know what the hell's going on. And an aeroplane swooped low over the column, a little Austrian aeroplane swooped low over the column, and he dropped something. It was like a red package fell down, and we heard later it was some sort of recognition signal or other, but we didn't really know what it was. Went on a bit farther, and we're coming now to, we guessed we were coming up to where that where we turned left to head south, where we taking a chance and turn left, and we stopped, and then a load of civilians passed us by under guard. Went on a little bit farther, and there was an American jeep with its bullet riddled windscreen on the side of the road, and the driver and his companion, who was a colonel, full colonel, you know, bird colonel, in their dead, and they hadn't been rifled. They got no arms, but they hadn't been rifled. And this was near a village. There didn't appear to be anybody in the village except for these, I don't know, 20 or 30 civilians who'd been carted off down the road. Goodness knows who they were. Anyway, we got out here. The rest of the companies were on foot now, gone on. A company had gone on ahead. We were now going to follow A company around behind them, and D and C were going to dig in on various little hills. Got up a bit closer to the road junction, and there were three Sherman tanks lined up there, one behind the other. Brand new they were, all shiny paint, and they'd been badly shot up on the outside, and the crews were perfectly safe. But the water cans and things like that were soft, had all got holes in them and all over the place. And Ken went over and had a chat with them. And they said that they'd come down some pass somewhere ahead, and that the turret rings of their tanks were frozen up, so they couldn't swing their guns around and do any firing. And the only thing they'd done was put, one of the tank commanders said he put his 4.5 out and just fired at random into the hills. It was a little bit useless, I guess. And we asked them where they were going. They said they were going to Chasan. Well, I think they said Chasan. They might have said Chop Tong, because they could have been from the reconnaissance company. But we thought they were going to Chasan. We turned right now, went up to the bridge that was over the railway line, and went over the bridge. Turned left, and there was an American ammunition lorry, full of ammo, pulled into the side of the road. No driver, no carbine, no nothing. So we did wonder whether that was the chap lorry who we'd seen the night before. I mean, there were loads of them, I'm sure, going up and down, but you'd just think that's the one that you've been with. He'd gone missing somewhere or other. Went up a bit farther, up a slight rise, and there's a sheer cutting on the right hand side. The road had been cut out of the rock. The railway line, incidentally, is partly filled with water as we went over the bridge. We then bear right and go up over a paddy field on the side of the hill, and the mortars are already ahead of us, dug in. Not dug in, but are laid out and are beginning to put down a barrage of mortar bombs forward. And there are shots flying about all over the place. CO's up there with his TAC HQ, company commander talking to him. And as we stand around in this field, two or three odd smaller American lorries go by, and the people, two or three people in each, and they're shooting around all over the place, and the shots are flying. We didn't take any notice of them, but I mean, they were firing at us, but it flew over the top. It was such bad shooting, you didn't need to even duck down. Shortly after this, we got the word that we were going to follow on, pass through A Company, or up ahead, and continue up the pass, fighting our way up the pass. We went down onto the road, and went over a slight hillock, and down, began to move up behind A Company, and I'd guess the point, Company Commander and point, were perhaps right behind A Company, pretty tight up behind A Company, and we were at the rear. And then we got fired on from about 200 yards on the left-hand side, and it shot across the road over the top of us, around us, and began to kick up the road in between the sections. Didn't hit anybody, marvellous really. And we all shot into the ditch, and Albert was in command of us, of course, and it was cutting across the roadway, and I put my head up to just to see if I could see what was going on, and I suppose for me cheek I got a burst, just whistled across the road. Nobody hit at all. Albert said to me, take your section to the right, just go down through the right hand side there, and there was a tunnel entrance there. There was no railway there, like it must have been an old tunnel or something, old railway tunnel I guess, of years ago. Investigate that, and then come back up and see us later. And we went off, and as we ran past these houses, traditional houses, straw roof houses, there were jeeps pulled off the road in between the houses. No one there, no equipment, empty jeeps, and it was obvious what they'd done. Somebody had pulled them off the road to make it look as if the road was open, to hide them behind the houses. And the roads, however, were strewn with kit bags and bits of kit, and American kit, stuff like that. I say American kit, but there's probably, this was probably Turkish stuff, because they Turkish convoy had been shot up about 7 o'clock that morning, fairly badly, hadn't got through, or some of it had got through, but not much of it. And we then went off through a little bushes about 4 foot high, I guess, passed through there, had a quick look in this tunnel, and it was black as pitch in there. You couldn't see very at all, and it could have been 100 men in there, or one, or nobody. But we couldn't do anything much about it. And it had no railway line into it, so it must have been pretty old. And behind us, we then got up onto the railway bank. This was a new piece of railway. I guess it'd been only just put there. Brand new chip-ins and railway lines and what have you. And I guess the original had been destroyed and they were putting a diversion round or something. Behind us was a valley, and it all looked pretty ominous. And there is people are shooting at us for this time. And looking at the little A Company hill, it was quite a bit of a commotion going up on top of there. And there was a pinnacle, a number of pinnacles, but one in particular on by my right-hand side. It had a few trees on the top, and then a beautiful grassy area about, I don't know, 50 yards perhaps more, and then more trees. And there were Chinese soldiers running about on here. That's peculiar. This was, we found out later, this was fairly common. They did this to sort of draw fire. And they were just running up and back and forwards and all over the place there, you know. I know, 50 or 60 of them, I guess. And they'd also got people forward of that on the hills just above us, and they were taking odd shots at us. And the people over the other side, the machine guns were popping them over the top of us. It was getting quite a little bit hectic. And just at that moment, Albert came over and said to me, I want you to move your section forward and line that edge of that road and cover the top of the hill. And I said, well, hold on. I'm in a perfect position to cover the top of that hill. If I go forward there, I'll be shooting up in the air. And these guys up here will be shooting into my back. And also, I'm very concerned about this tunnel just behind us and the gully, the very wide gully coming down from behind us. And he agreed. So he said, well, stay where you are, line there, and we'll... I don't suppose he was too pleased that an acting National Service corporal was telling him his job, but I think I was right. If we were going to attack the hill, it would have been different. I would need to have been up the bank. Well, we weren't at this moment of time. And he also told me that A Company was withdrawing as well, so that made it even more wrong to have gone through to this thing. Anyway, a few seconds later, we're lining the railway line, laying up on the bank there, and the Mustangs, incidentally, are shooting up anything and everything just forward of this. And one of them came down, swooping down, and fired actually at what we will call the A Company here, the one they were attacking, fired at that, and as he lifted, he kept firing, presumably his finger on the button, he had a shot, and a burst of machine gun fire went past between my LMG section and my rifle section, and spattered on the ground on the embankment just down in front of the railway tunnel. I don't know how it missed us, to be quite honest. It might have gone over the top, but we always thought it went between us. And if it did, it only had about 3 yards to go through, but wherever it went, it was a pretty close thing. And just at that moment, we looked round again, or I looked round again, and I could see the A Company lads withdrawing along the top. And I thought, crikey, they're going a bit slow. And they were going fairly slow. And then on the left-hand side of the A Company hill, there was a long line of them quite close together coming down the hill, obviously going down through B Company. And the last guy, I saw the last man leap up and run backwards. And I could see him, I saw him sideways on, and I could see now he must have dumped his bedding roller or done something, because the straps that hold his bedding roller, I could see him floating about behind him. That's a peculiar thing. And he got off, and they passed through us. And then we must have then begun to withdraw. Now, I don't remember getting an order. I'm sure I didn't get an order to withdraw. I think I must have seen them withdrawing and realised I was expected to withdraw with them. We went back the way we came, and they're now shooting at us fairly accurately. And as we spread out fairly wide, and we ran back toward the houses. And as we're going through these bushes, which we passed through previously, there are little balls, little white balls of cotton wool on the top. And I thought, by golly, this is cotton. I've never seen cotton before. And this was cotton, but these little balls of cotton wool were flying off all over the place, all around us. We got through it. We didn't get anybody hit. We were very, very lucky. A long range, I guess they must have been not very good shots. Got up to the houses, and we were sort of skulking behind the houses, and Albert passed through with the platoon HQ, and he said, bring up the rear to me. And I don't know. See, when we'd been skulking in the ditch earlier on, when the machine gun fire was coming across the road and cutting it all up, Jimmy Wilde had come back and said to Albert, get a move in, get a move in. And I think we were all feeling a bit guilty that he thought we were a bit cowardly, you know. So we stayed there, and I think I might have stayed a little bit too long, because I was determined not to be rushed. Everybody had gone, and the road was bare. Everybody had got back, and I started to move off back then, and it was all quiet. Nobody was, the odd shot or two, you know, but nothing too much. And they started to mortar us. They were in line with us, but they were about, I guess, 50 yards to our right, something like 20 yards, 50 yards, something like that to our right. And obviously, if they moved it over, they would have come in line with us. So I had the section under the bank where they were under a bit of cover. Well, I stayed out on the right-hand side, and I was determined we wouldn't run. And I'm saying to them, quite slow, slow. Don't run, don't run, as we went down, and the mortar bombs are dropping out on the right-hand side. And then, of course, they started to shoot at us. They suddenly thought, well, no, about these aren't our side. We've got nothing to shoot at. We might shoot at them. So it started to whistle between us and over the top. And I'm saying, slow, 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 and they're fantastic. They were fantastic. And we got to the road ahead was going up and over a little mound, and D Company were lined up there with their rifles sort of pointing towards us. They weren't firing. Albert's standing on this little mound, and he dare not get down because we're not down, so he can't get down, and it's all flying all around him. And suddenly we got within about, I guess, 50 metres of him, and he said, "Run, you stupid bastards, run!" And we shot up over this mound. And as we went through, a burst came along the front of the rifles of the D Company lads who were laid there, passed in front of me, and went in front of Albert. We're sort of facing each other like that. That shot off to the side there. And we scurried over the top there, and we're skulking in this gully now, you know, feeling a little bit ashamed of ourselves for running. But they were some good lads. They never ran, not until they were told to. And there were some lorries there waiting for us, and we piled up in the lorries because I think the idea was now get as many people back out of this scrimmage because we're obviously going to withdraw. We're out of contact, incidentally, by radio. We didn't know this, but we were out of contact with Brigade HQ. There's no radio contact, so we haven't got a clue what we're supposed to be doing. That's the battalion commander. And we got up on the backs of these lorries, and I'm looking down, and there are all the wounded laid across the side there with the, I think it must be the MI sergeant, somebody's looking after them. And the thought, it's funny how thoughts go through your mind. I thought, God, look at them bleeding all over those new jackets. What a state of affairs. And they must have cleared the wounded off just after we left, because we left just after that. And we went back, and now the bridge that we come over is down. It's crumpled into the gully over the railway track, and we had to go down a very steep bank, which is probably where this tank transporter on the previous night had gone through, and up the other side, across the paddy, onto the road, and then we stopped just down where battalion was forming up back down there, just down where the two Americans were still in their jeep, dead, two dead Americans, and we cleared off then. Back down the road, a D Company, as it happened, got caught holding the rear, and they got attacked, and there was quite a scrimmage there with D Company. About a company attacked them, and they eventually withdrew with some quite exciting little things apparently happening. Well, we didn't know this at the time. We went back down to this place called Chop Tong, where the cavalry reconnaissance company had been, and they were still there in actual fact with some tanks, and we dug in on the road. We were on the left of the road, D Company on the right, and the village is just behind us, and the rest of the companies are spread out in the village. Of town headquarters apparently was in the station, and we had a pretty cold night. I couldn't dig it. I found out because I was on my own all this time, I had to keep digging in on my own, which is always a bit of a bind. And I found the only way was to dig back under the road, and I sort of dug an igloo, as it were, back under the road where the ground was softer. And the next morning, stand to, we had Albert came forward and said, "There's an expectation that there'll be T-34s heading down the road to us, towards us before long. So get the rocket launcher forward and dig a post forward." Not dig a post forward, place the rocket launcher forward. So I went out with a couple of guys, and I placed them up there. And D Company were on the right. We were more or less, our post was more or less level with the D Company's forward post. Came back, we had a meal. Ken came over and said that he'd heard that A Company, the platoon commander, had been killed, and told me the names of some of the wounded fellas and things like that. And that the word was that we were going forward again. We'd expected, during the night, we'd been told that an American RCT, that's a regimental combat team, which is about, a big brigade group that is, I mean, bigger than our brigade groups, would have gone through us that morning and opened up the route to Div. But there wasn't one available, they said. And we, just the battalion, I'd have to go forward and just hold the southern end of the pass open for them. And we went off about... sorry, I'll rephrase that. We were waiting. There's an amusing little incident here. The rocket launcher team called back and said, "Come up, quick." And there was...